Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Alfredo Romero with Christ Today. I am filling in for John Jefferson, who continues to get better and be healed from a car accident he had. We're always praying for him. But I've been filling in on Christ Today for the last few weeks. I'll probably do this as long as John is out. Hopefully, he'll be back, you know, whenever he's ready. Today, we have a very interesting topic. And I want everybody, I'm just going to say this. Be patient. Hang on, everybody. All right, because this is could be a touchy subject for some. It shouldn't be for followers of Christ. It shouldn't be, but I'm gonna preface this message a little bit. Jesus talks a lot about world events. If you look at the Word of God, especially in Matthew, Jesus talks about world events. He says, Matthew 24:5-13, "For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. But see that you're not troubled. All these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places, and these are just the beginning of sorrows." Listen to this part. And then it says, "Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved." Now, there's a lot there. So you're probably wondering what I'm going to talk about. The end of the world? Are we going to discuss the trials and tribulations? Actually, what we're going to do is, I'm going to say this word hopefully just once, maybe a couple of times. Politics. I know. Hang on to your seat. If you're in your car, drive careful. If you're at home, don't shut the broadcast off. Listen, we're not going to talk about politics, but we're going to talk about world events. Now, when they walked up to Jesus and said, "Hey, Jesus, here's this coin. So whose allegiance do you have? I mean, is it, you know, do you pledge allegiance to Rome?" And Jesus says, "Look, okay, here's the way it works." I'm paraphrasing, obviously. Jesus says, "Look, whose picture is on this? Caesar's? Okay, give to Caesar what's Caesar's, but give to God's what's God's." Jesus knew that there was things happening and things going to happen in this world where we have to look at and make sure biblically, doctrinally, we're looking at the things going on in this world and remember that God is in control, that it's about the Lord. It's about what God wants. It's not but what man wants. So there are things going on in this world events, that we can't ignore. Now, we don't want to get wrapped up in the parties and the platforms, because here's the way it works. Everything that we rely on in this world, everything as Christians, as followers of Christ, okay, as people that say we are saved by the blood of Jesus, I believe in the Bible from the first word to the last word, I believe in the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. I believe in the one triune God. I have given my life to Christ. I've turned away from this world. I've repented, and I'm doing my best to strive to live for holiness. Okay, with that, we can't ignore world events because Jesus talks about it, especially in Matthew. He's not talking about that word. He's talking about world events. He's saying there's things that are going to happen in this world that we can't ignore because it's marking the times. It's there's signs of things that we're going to have to deal with as Christians. And he says there's going to be persecution. If they hate you, they're going to hate me. You'll be persecuted for my namesake. Blessed are those that are persecuted for not for my namesake. That Jesus continually talks about what's going to happen in the world. So how can we as Christians ignore, because we're afraid to say that word, you know, or we're hesitant to talk about things that are happening in our city, our county, our state, our nation, and the world? We can't ignore them. We've got to find a way to talk about world events in biblical terms without getting upset with each other. I know, look, there's something I feel strongly about, okay? I know that a lot of Christians, no matter whatever views we have differences, and that's okay, but here's the point. As long as it doesn't contradict or make sure that it lines up with the Word of God, we need to be aware of the world events and how it lines up with the world of God, because God says we need to prepare. God says we need to be looking up. You know, the Word says that we need to be aware of what's going on with world events, because there's been prophecies about this all the way back from Old Testament. There's been prophecies about what's going to happen in the world. And if we as Christians can't have conversations because we're too afraid of sounding, I'll say the word one more time, political, that word no longer even means what it really meant in the first place. But if we're too hesitant to talk about the world events and how it pertains to the Word of God, we're going to miss something. We're not going to be prepared as we should be. We're not going to be as aware as we should be. We're supposed to be prepared for what the world throws at us, knowing that Matthew 24 says, lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. What are we supposed to endure from? What are we supposed to, what is it that we're supposed to endure if we're not aware of what's happening in world events? Now, biblically, via the Word of God, and that's what we're going to talk about today. There are things going on, world events, that we as Christians need to be aware of. Now, if anybody's listening, and by some chance, you just turn the dial and you go, well, what's this guy talking about? Oh, no. Okay, if you don't have a relationship with God yet, or you're wondering about who God is, or who Christ is, or you're listening and you say, well, you know, I've never really given my life to Christ, but I'm open to having the conversation. Great. This is the program for you. This is it. This is a time where you can pause, take a breath, wait until the very end before you really let things soak in, because I'm going to talk about some world events, about biblical meanings and what we are to do with it. And I'm going to mention specific things, and I know this is a long setup, but I really want people to have patience with this conversation. I really do, because this is important, because there are things going on in this world that we need to be aware of, whether we're Christians, call ourselves followers of Jesus Christ, or not yet. I like to call them the pre-saved, or the, you know, they're going through the journey to find their relationship with Jesus. I want to walk in faith like that. I want to believe that I know what the Word says. The Word says that it's God's desire that not one person would perish, but we would all repent and come to the salvation through Jesus Christ. And that's what I. That's how I approach things. I'll talk to anybody that doesn't have a relationship with Jesus yet, gently, boldly, calmly, firmly, in all the ways that Christ tells us to, without tickling their ears, without mincing words, without pulling back, but gently and with love, with love. All right, so here we go. So what's happening that made me truly believe that this is a conversation that we need to have? All right. Here we go. Hang on. Two hands on the wheel. You know, whatever you're doing, sit down, have your drink of tea or coffee, and let's settle in for the next 45, 50 minutes. Here's what's going on. We mentioned last week about the enemy. We talked openly about Satan and his plans. His plans to take out God's word. Now, he can't stop it. But what he can do is he can put a lot of roadblocks in front of us to mislead us, deceive us. That's what he tried to do to Jesus in the wilderness and in the desert. He threw the word out in a way that was wrong. And Jesus kept throwing the word back at him correctly. And that's what the enemy does. So here's what's going on. We talked about Christianity being under attack. Here's the event that kicked this off. This past week, Italy elected a new prime minister. Her name is Giorgia Meloni. I hope I pronounced that right. She gave a speech that was stunning to me and made me think a lot about what's going on in world events. And the world events are basically, bluntly, hey, let's get rid of God. We don't need God anymore. There is Psalms, and I believe it's Psalms 2, 1 or 2, I believe it's 2, and it basically says that the world leaders, the kings, had gotten together and decided they didn't need God anymore. And I'm paraphrasing, but basically they said, you know what, God, we don't need you anymore. We have no need of you. We're okay down here. We got things under control. And the word says that God laughed. He laughed at their mockery of him. And he scoffed, like, oh no, you got to be kidding me. These people think they don't need me? Wow, that's crazy. They have no idea. They have no idea. And he scoffed at them. It actually says he laughed. Well, if you look at world events, that's definitely still happening. Because the word is the same today, you know, yesterday, today, and forever. And the word is 100% true. God's always right. And what happened, you know, back in the Old Testament days when some of the kings of the world says, hey, we don't need you anymore, God. That's exactly what's happening today. God knew it was going to happen. So here's what happened. So the prime minister of Italy now, soon to be prime minister, she gave this speech. And basically what she said, and I'm going to read it, but it's so obvious that this world event is exactly what God was talking about in Psalms when people said, hey, I don't need you anymore. And when the Lord talked about the division that's going to happen in the world. And I'm going to read through some scriptures the whole time because this has to be and always will be a biblical, godly discussion. This is not a worldly discussion. This is not something that we're here to rail about this world without making sure that we are talking about God's point of view, his word. So the question is, who do we belong to? Do we belong to this world or the kingdom of God? And people make that decision. When they make that decision, it gives them an identity. And that's naturally going to cause this division. This division is going to be those that are for God, the true God, the God of the Bible, or do you pretty much pledge your allegiance, or are you okay with saying, I don't need God, I'm okay with what this world is offering me? And we talked about last week how it's a plan of the enemy to attack people and divide them. It's just one of his tricks, one of his wiles. He wants people divided. He wants people not to have anything to do with God, keep them away from becoming children of God. And the enemy wants us to lose our identity as God created us. See, the enemy doesn't want, Satan doesn't want us joining the family of God. He wants us to be lost in the identity of this world. Okay, so here's what happened. This is a real big precursor. Excuse me. I'm really trying to make this so everybody's patient and understands. All right, here's what happened. Italy's new prime minister calls herself a woman, a mother, a Christian, and an Italian. And what she said is, in a nutshell, she says, this is my identity. This is who I am, according to who God has called me to be. That's basically, in a nutshell, what she says. So I'm going to read you pretty much in its entirety. It'll take a couple of minutes, but I want to set it up for you. She said, everything that defines us, everything that defines her, collectively us, and I know she's talking to her fellow Italians, is now an enemy. Well, what does this have to do with the Bible? Well, listen. She called herself a woman, a mother, a Christian, and Italian. And that's important to note. That's, and I'm going to get back to that later on, how God describes us as each of those identities. Okay, so here's how it works. She said, I'm not, I'm trying to dance, but I don't want to dance around this. The foundation of herself and her identity as she believes in Jesus as Lord and calls herself a Christian. Here's what she said. This is about what we are here doing today. Why is the family an enemy? Why is this family so frightening? There's a single answer to all these questions because it defines us, because it's our identity, because everything that defines us is now an enemy. Everything that defines us is now an enemy for those who would like us to no longer have an identity. And to be simply these perfect consumer slaves, so they attack our identity, our national identity, our religious identity. They attack our gender identity. They attack family identity. And then she goes on to say, I can't define myself as an Italian, Christian, a woman, a mother. No. Now they say I must be citizen X, gender X, parent one, parent two. I must be a number because when I'm only a number, when I no longer have an identity or roots, remember that, when I no longer have an identity or roots, then I would be a perfect slave at the mercy of financial speculators, the perfect consumer. Basically, what she's saying is, you know, the people in control. All right, that's the reason why we inspire so much fear, because we don't want to be numbers. We want to defend the value of the human being because each of us has a unique genetic code that is unrepeatable. Now, that's important too, biblically, a unique genetic code. And like it or not, that is sacred. This unique genetic code, she says, is sacred. And then she says, we'll defend it. We will defend God, country and family. Those things that disgust people so much. Now, there's a lot there, and I ask you to be patient, but what I want to do is I want to break this down and what this means biblically. And I don't want to jump all over the place, so I'm going to try to give this to you in numbers, like bullet points. But then she ended up closing this speech, basically saying, we'll never be slaves. All right, so why is that so important right now to consider what Prime Minister Maloney talked about regarding identity? I think we can have a good calm discussion about it, and I pray that people can have good calm discussions, even though they have different viewpoints, just about what this identity is. All right, so here we go. What she is saying is we are in a battle right now, and there are things because we identify ourselves really as Christians, as followers of Christ, that our identity is in godly values, that we're the enemy. Take the views that don't have anything to do with the Bible. Take those views, put them aside. We're talking about world events that have to do with biblical topics that Jesus talked about. And in Matthew 24, Jesus talked a lot about this. People, divisions, rising up against each other, hatred. Jesus talked about how people that believe in him as Lord and Savior, people that believe in God, that they'll be persecuted and how we're to endure and how false prophets rise up. That's the angle here. It's really, to me, always, it's always about the Bible and what Jesus says. All right, so let's get into this now. She basically said a few points that really hit me. Basically, what she's doing is recognizing the battle right now is not against flesh and blood. We're not battling against people and their views, but we're battling against principalities, power, spiritual forces, and the heavenly places that are against our identity in Christ. And that's it. Our identity in Christ. So the world needs, the world is falling in line exactly what the Bible says. And we as Christians need to be prepared and get ready for what's to come. Because it seems as if all these things that Jesus talked about, and it not seems, is happening. Now, I don't know what that means for the end of the world. I have no idea. That's another discussion. It could be tomorrow, next month, next year, a decade from now. Who knows? That's up to God. All I know is that we need to prepare ourselves as Christians, as followers of Christ, and as people that don't know who Christ is yet as Savior. They need to be aware. We need to tell them what's going on, that this is a spiritual battle. And without a shadow of a doubt, we are to be telling the good news. We are to be telling people about Jesus and what all this means. Because I will tell you one thing on a rabbit trail and a bunny trail. In the last couple of years, I've had a lot of discussions with people that are not believers in Christ as Savior that asked me, a pastor, they wanted to know what's going on in this world. What is happening? Why is everything falling apart? And if I'm not prepared to answer, if I'm not able to quote Scripture, if I'm not able to point to world events that line up with Scripture, then they're not going to understand really, really, really what's going on. We need to be talking about the love of Christ, how the things of this world are just foolishness compared to the things that God offers. How the Bible says that the message of the cross is foolishness to those that are perishing. And how much God loves us, that his desire is that no one would perish, but we would all come to repentance, turn around, get away from this world, run to him, and receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, and spend eternity with him rather than wasting away during this world's time and ending up eternally separated from him. And we talked about that a couple of weeks ago. So we need to be able to have answers as Christians, calm, gentle, bold answers to what's going on in world events, and not get caught up in talking points, useless babbling is what the world calls it, useless babbling, useless conversations that don't mean anything to what the Word of God is saying. So if we can separate that the way the Word calls it, the way the Word of God calls us to, we'd have a better time having these kind of conversations. So here we go. What's going on? Number one, the devil has come to steal, kill, and destroy everything. Steal the Word of God in our lives. And not too long ago, the soon-to-be Prime Minister of Italy, Giorgia Meloni, pointed out that the European Union, some of the leaders of the European Union, they presented a document. And this is a world event, folks, so be patient if you just tuned in. We're talking about world events that have biblical meaning. World events that we need to be aware of as Christians or even as people that don't have faith yet. We need to know what's really going on. So in this speech, not long ago, the soon-to-be Prime Minister of Italy, Giorgia Meloni, pointed out the European Union, some of the leaders, presented a document that stated, in order for everyone to be inclusive, and I'm not a fan of that word, but I'm okay with it now. But in order for everyone to be inclusive, we need to delete all references and mentions of Christmas, Jesus, Mary, and all Christian names and references are to be removed from all official communications. Why? Why? Why do they want to take away Jesus? Well, back to what we're talking about. It's our identity as Christians. If you take Jesus and Christianity and everything that has to do with it out of everything that you possibly can, you start to strip away people's identity, basically telling Christians you can't identify as Christian. You are not allowed to identify as a person of faith. That's biblical. When we get persecuted for our faith, and we talked earlier when Jesus said, blessed are those who are persecuted for my name's sake. They hated you because they hated me. He talked about how that in the final days, people that are followers of Christ will be persecuted. And this is what's happening. This is an example of a world event that lines up exactly with what Jesus talked about. And that's important. We need to be able to have discussions about this. We must be able to have conversations with believers and people that don't have faith yet so we can have these calm conversations and point out what is going on, what is happening. Why is Jesus something that needs to be deleted from our society? Because the enemy wants to kill anyone's chances for salvation in Jesus. The enemy doesn't want anybody saved. He wants the opposite of what God wants. God wants everybody to come to repentance, nobody to perish, nobody spend eternity without him. Satan wants everybody to spend eternity with him, separated from God, in a place where there's anxiety, eternal anxiety, gnashing of teeth, eternal pain, no joy, no happiness, no love, nothing. The enemy wants to delete Jesus from society and from everything because he doesn't want anybody to come to Christ. He doesn't want anybody to know the truth. And this is exactly what this prime minister is pointing out. They want to take away my identity as a Christian. Now, just because this person is now a world leader, that doesn't mean that it's any less important to anybody else. Me as a pastor, anybody that's a store worker, a delivery person, an athlete, a student, it goes for everyone. This has nothing to do with the position of the person. Even though this speech came from a nation leader, this has to do, and this relates to all of us. This has to do with every single person, no matter our position. The enemy doesn't want you. Bob Dylan, if anybody remembers Bob Dylan, you can Google him. He's one of the best songwriters of all time. He gave his life to Christ back in the 70s, one of the biggest music stars of all time. And he came out with a song called "You Gotta Serve Somebody." I mean, basically, it says, you gotta serve somebody. It may be the devil, or it may be the Lord. He talks about you may be a leader, you may be a big star athlete, you may have this name or that name, but you're going to have to serve somebody. You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to dance. He's just basically saying it doesn't matter who you are. Everybody's going to have to serve somebody. Well, Satan doesn't want us to serve God. He wants us to basically serve him. And if you don't think it's happening in this country, just let me give you a few bullet points here. And the point of this conversation is Satan is out to destroy and steal our identities in Christ. It's happening everywhere. You don't think it's happening in this country? They're removing Bibles from hotels and motels. They removed prayer out of school, deleted any songs that have a reference to God. I just said that the prime minister of Italy, the soon-to-be prime minister of Italy, just basically stated that what's happening is that the European Union wants to get rid of any references of Jesus, Christmas, Mary, Christian names from all official communications. They want people there that don't believe in Christ. They want to take faith out of the workplace. I used to work in a place that told us to take down our godly calendars, posters down from our cubicles, change the name of towns if it's associated with a biblical person or a phrase. Las Cruces, New Mexico, years ago had people saying, change your name, it means three crosses. There are people that are taking crosses out of cemeteries. They deleted Merry Christmas. And now you can say Happy Holidays, which is kind of silly because it means Happy Holy Day. I've seen people cut off from TV broadcasts, news, if you acknowledge or say anything about Jesus. You're not allowed to express your faith during high school or college speeches or athletic events. You're not allowed to pray for the health and safety of people before any type of event at a school. If you express your faith, you get kicked off. If you're an entertainer, you get kicked off out of music platforms, TV shows, movies. I remember there's a woman that just got kicked out of The Mandalorian because she expressed some views, and some of them were religious-based. There's more serious persecution. We talked about how Christians are the most persecuted faith-based group in the world. People are killed every day or imprisoned. And there's more and more and more. But what's the point of all this? Well, it's about identity. It's about who we are as Christians. And I'm going to get to a point about this. I'm asking everybody to be patient. There's a point to all this. Why some people of all the religions and faiths put all their energy into trying to delete the Word of God, the Bible? Why is Christianity such a threat to unbelievers or people that do not believe yet? Why is the Word of God and Jesus so threatening that it needs to be deleted from every aspect of society and culture and infrastructure? Well, we talked about this too recently, because it's the truth. And if you're going to attack something, you got to attack the truth. The European Union, this is a world event. I'm not talking about what I didn't want to talk about. Why didn't the European Union say anything about, we have to delete all religious references? We can't talk about Krishna, Muhammad. We can't talk about Jehovah. We can't talk about Buddha. We need to put away all religious references. No, that's not what they said. They said, we need to remove all references to Jesus. Can't mention Christmas. Can't even say a biblical name like Mary or Joseph. All Christian references need to be removed from any official communication. Just take it all out. You know, why during the pandemic were churches told to shut down, but large stores remained open? Marijuana dispensaries, liquor stores, strip clubs. Why were those places essential? And I know it's going to sound like I'm talking other than world events. I'm trying not to say the word, but I'll say it one more time in case you missed it. Political. It's not. What I'm trying to point out is the word of God is so true. He told us things like this is going to happen. And just because we're afraid of conversations about world events that have to do with local, state, nation, and government world events, that we think that we as Christians can't talk about it, what we need to do is point to the word of God and say, look, Jesus talked about this stuff. And there's a point to all this. This isn't just platform against platform, party against party. This is about biblical truth. This is about us being prepared, aware, and knowledgeable of what Jesus said we as believers need to look out for. And probably more importantly, how do we have conversations with people that don't know Jesus yet when they have questions about world events? And I've had, I can't even count in the last couple of 3 years, how many conversations I've had with people that don't have faith in Christ, but they were asking me about world events. What does this mean? What does that mean? Well, what about this? And I have to have answers for them. I have to be able to say things like, God's word is the truth. And if you're going to attack something, if no matter what your views are, world views, religious views, whatever, if you don't agree with the word of God, what are you going to attack? You're going to attack the truth. And that truth is found in God's word. But why do they ask these questions? Why is anybody who's trying to delete society from society, everything that has to do with God, what's the problem? Now, here it is. The Bible says that God's word is truth, that everything from the first word to the last word is true. And if you're going to attack truth, you're going to attack the Bible. But why do people still waste their time attacking a God that they don't believe in? Why does the people that don't have faith in Christ, why do they spend so much time and energy trying to delete out something they say they don't believe in? Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, God has set eternity in the human heart. God says that just by looking at his creation, people know and can see that there's a creator, that there's a God. So that they're without excuse. They're without the ability to say, I didn't know. That's important because this is where it comes from. Every human soul has this God-given awareness that there is something more than this temporary world. Something more than this temporary world that only the true God can fill and not anything that this world has to offer. Everyone deep down knows God's word is true. So if you believe in it, wonderful, awesome. And if you don't believe in it and you don't want to believe in it, or even if you do believe in it, but you refuse it, you're going to attack it. So that's the enemy. The enemy wants to steal the opportunity for everyone, each and every person, to either have that point where they're going to accept or deny the truth of God's word. You get that? You understand that? Number two, that's why identity is so important. Because it is impossible to get rid of the truth of God's word. You can't delete it. You can't hide it. You can't corrupt it. It's impossible. It can't be done. So what the enemy wants to do, this is the second point, is to destroy our identity according to God's word. That's what he wants. He wants no one to come to the realization of how much God loves each person. He doesn't want you to know how much God loves you. He wants you to be with him in eternity in heaven. He wants you to be with him for eternity and not in heaven with God. The enemy came to destroy who we are and who we're going to be. He does that by destroying our identity in Christ. I've even talked about this on this show a couple of times. I don't want to rehash it. But if the devil can take people away from realizing their identity in Christ, who God has called them to be, the purpose of God in their lives, then he wins. He loses the war, but he wins these battles for people's souls. See, when the Prime Minister Maloney talked about this, we each have this unique genetic code. She stated, we each have this unique genetic code. And she said, and that is sacred. So why is that important? And this is one of the reasons why her speech hit me so hard biblically. She said, we will defend the value of the human being because each of us has unique genetic code that is unrepeatable. And like it or not, that is sacred. Why does she say that? Because as a Christian, as she calls herself, we know that if the devil takes away our identity, he wants us to stop us from realizing who we are in Jesus, who we are in Christ. For example, God says, you're unique. God says, you're one of a kind. God said, there's no one like you. God calls you a marvelous work, that there's no one like you, that he created you in his image, that you are a marvelous work. That matter of fact, God says he knew you before you were in your mother's womb, that there is no one like you. Your genetic code created by God is one of a kind. He's got a plan for you that nobody else can accomplish. Because there's no plan that we can come up with in this life, in this world for ourselves, that's better than the plan that God has for each of us. And the devil wants to take that down. He doesn't want us to find our identity in God. He wants us to lose our identity. Like the Prime Minister Maloney said this past week, if we allow the world to take away our ability to define ourselves as Christians, believers in Christ, as a godly man or woman, it takes away the very gift that God gives us as a family. Our right to serve our God, our right to proclaim the name of Jesus, then we have to realize this is part of the enemy's plan. It's part of Satan's plan to destroy the identity we have in Christ. That's why this world event is so important. That's why this speech that she gave really hit me, because what it did is it brought up world events that absolutely have to do with Christ, with the word of Christ, the word of God. That's exactly what happened. She's actually acknowledging several points of what we're talking about today, according to the Bible. Here's my point number three. Jesus knows this, and that's what we're to focus on. Jesus knows all of this. Nothing takes God by surprise. God's not up there going, wow, I didn't see that coming. You know, God's not up there going, wow, I can't believe they're doing this. What? The European Union wants to take Jesus and Christmas and every reference to the Bible out of, wow, I didn't see that coming. Nothing surprises God. Jesus knew this. 1 Peter 5:8-9 says, to us as believers in Christ, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour, but stand firm against them. Be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering that you are. This is the time to be sober, a time to be vigilant and super aware. Why? Your adversary, who is the devil, walks around like a roaring lion looking for people to devour. Jesus called it. He called it. And that's exactly what is happening in world events. The Prime Minister of Italy now, the new one, Maloney, she's not the only person to point this out. Like I said, it doesn't matter position. She just happens to have the world stage. I've heard people in just in every walk of life talking about the same thing. They're acknowledging the Word of God, how world events are described in God's Word, and how we need to be aware of it. Like I said, this isn't about platforms and parties and things like that. This is about world events that line up to the Word of God. This is about us as Christians being aware of what the enemy is doing. That's all this is. So we shouldn't be afraid of talking about this kind of stuff. I mean, it kind of drives me crazy when somebody brings something up, and there's two things that happen. One of them is it's completely non-biblical. It's just ranting and raving about what they agree or don't agree with, non-political. Or it is political. It's not political, but it becomes biblical. And some people will shut us down, and they'll say, "Wait, well, you can't talk about that. You can't talk about deleting God from government places, because that's too political." No. We're talking biblical. Biblical. Jesus says this is going to happen. We're going to be persecuted. If they hated me, they're going to hate you. It says the devil is going to come around, steal, kill, and destroy. That the message of the cross is foolishness to those that are perishing. Jesus said, give to Caesar what's Caesar, but give to God what's God's. Jesus said there's going to be a time in Matthew 24. He talks about the famines and the earthquakes, and the things are going to happen, and nation rising up against nation, and people being persecuted for their faith. This is what we're talking about. The biblical world events that we need to be aware of, that have nothing to do with platforms and views and beliefs and parties. And we're talking about the ability to have a conversation about why there is so much division in the world. What is going on? All right, this brings me to point number four. So why has this caught my attention? Italy's Prime Minister's Meloni, this word, why it's a sign of what Jesus says? Well, here's a big one. Let's read the Word of God first. Matthew 12 is a pivotal chapter in the narrative of Jesus' earthly ministry, and one that includes Jesus' one of his biggest statements. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. That's Matthew 12:30. So what does that mean? What does that have to do with the world events that are happening? Underline this, if you're taking notes, or put this in your memory, because people are choosing up sides. It's very clear. The world is dividing right down the line of believers and unbelievers. Oh, you can have different platforms. You can have different worldviews. You can have different parties you belong to. But really what it comes down to is biblical doctrine. And Jesus says, you're for me or you're against me. That's what he says. And that's what it comes down to. Jesus said, he who is not with me is against me. He's proclaiming the good news about the kingdom, of the God kingdom, that he was offering to people. But in Matthew 12, he and his kingdom, they're rejected, particularly by the leaders of a nation, of the nation. That's what the context of this is. Jesus is basically saying that the kingdom of God is being rejected for the kingdom of the world. Leaders of the nation are rejecting God. They're rejecting Jesus. So Jesus has to come out and say, listen, he who is not with me is against me. That's the clear divide. And he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. Scatters abroad means if you're not for me, if you're not for Christ and all the love that he's offering you, then you're going to scatter abroad. You'll be part of this group. You'll be part of that group. You'll join this party or this group or that position or this. You're going to scatter. You'll scatter. And anything that's not of God is against him. So you put all those groups together just in one big group. And that's what Christ is talking about. And that's what we see right now in world events. When you have all the things that I described a few minutes ago happening in this world about deleting Jesus and God and everything biblical from every place, private and public and government areas, then we know what's happening if we know the Word of God. And that's what I'm trying to do today. Look, I'm not trying to, listen, I'm not trying to force anything on anybody. I'm just basically stating what the Bible says. I'm a pastor. That means I'm a messenger. I deliver a message, okay? This isn't my views. This isn't my opinions. I'm merely reading what the Word of God says and how it's so true that you can look at world events and things happening in our city, our county, our state, our nation, our world, and you can see how all these things line up exactly with what God says was going to happen. Division. Division. Listen, I'm going to go back to this. Every human soul that God has this God-given awareness that there's something more than this temporary world. There's this longing that makes everyone search for meaning and purpose. Everybody always talks about whatever their faith is. You know, I just want to find my purpose. I just want to find the meaning of life. I just want to find my, you know, my destiny. And Jesus is saying, me, I love you, me. I have so much for you, nothing else. Paul calls the stuff of this world garbage. Paul says anything in this world besides God is meaningless. It means nothing. Jesus is saying, I love you. I don't want you to get caught up in all this crud of the world, this garbage, this useless babbling, all these conflicts. I've got an answer for you. I come to offer you something that the world cannot give you. And the enemy is trying to steal that from us. And I know eventually that I know the enemy, he can't do it. He can't steal anything from us. I get it. But we allow him to. All right. So I just talked about how people are choosing upsides. And that's what I want to talk about today. So just like today, the leaders of the nations are calling all that as godly. They're calling it evil. Jesus said, hey, look, there's going to be a time where, you know, good is evil, evil is good. That's what they're going to call it. Left is right, right is left. I'm going to tell you something else. There's this situation where Jesus healed a blind man and a mute man. It's Matthew 12. And the crowds were in awe, and they were wondering whether he might be the son of David, the Messiah. And some of the Pharisees, on the other hand, were quickly rejecting Jesus' healing work as Messiah. That's an example of division. Some people received him, and some people denied him. It was crazy. Jesus challenged the kind of like the ridiculousness of this critique. And because they had said, well, did Jesus do this by demonic power? And they didn't understand that logic of a divided kingdom. You know, Satan fighting against Satan, that would be crazy. God fighting against God? No. Jesus presented them and said, well, whose power do your sons cast out demons? Because Jesus was pointing out, the point he was making was that if Jesus was casting out demons in the power of God, as he was claiming to do, then indeed the kingdom he was presenting had come. He was trying to show the unbelievers, the scoffers, the doubters, the division, that there's the kingdom of God, and then there's Satan's world. And Satan wouldn't battle against Satan, God wouldn't battle against God, that indeed I am now the king. I am the kingdom has come now. This is Matthew 12:8. And Jesus took it further, and that's when he said, he who is not with me is against me. The people had to make a choice. And it's the same thing, folks. We're here right now. And I'm just praying that anybody listening right now understands it all this bickering, all this crazy stuff happening in the world, it really comes down to a choice. It really comes down to who are we going to serve? We have to serve somebody, like the Bob Dylan song says, and he took it from the Word of God. We got to serve somebody. It may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but we're going to have to serve somebody. And Jesus is presenting to the people, you have to choose. You've got to choose. You can only enter God's kingdom through the spiritual righteousness that Jesus is describing. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. Nobody gets to the Father except through me. And there, Jesus is bluntly saying, look, if you rebel against me, if you reject what I'm saying, if you reject this good news, if you reject the love of God, then he who is not with me is against me. And it doesn't matter where you scatter to. It doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't matter what your truth is, because you're all in one big group. The people are all in just one big group. You just reject Jesus. And I don't want anybody to do that. Hey, I've been there. I've been there. I get it. I've got a story and testimony just like everybody else. I've been there. I rejected the ways of God. I get it. And then I found the truth. And I realized there was only two choices, door number one or door number two. Door number one leads to a relationship with Christ that's real, it's relevant to every day of my life and for eternity, because that relationship God wants, he wants it to last for eternity. All I got to do is turn from this world, reject everything it offers me, accept Christ, because I need him as a savior. I can't do this on my own. I need him. Just turn away from all the stuff I did that hurt God and didn't please him. Sin, anything that doesn't please God is called a sin. And I was doing a lot of that. So door number one leads to eternity with God. If we would just confess with our tongue, believe in our hearts, Jesus Christ is Lord, and we spend eternity in heaven. Door number two, which Satan's trying to lead us down, says, you don't need God. Well, we end up in eternal separation from God. And we talked a couple of weeks ago how everything good is God. And if people unfortunately choose door number two, that they're going to spend eternity without God, a place of eternal anxiety, pain, hurt, regret. There's no love. Nobody telling you tomorrow's going to be a better day. People need to understand the need for a savior. One of the biggest needs for a savior is that's why they call it being saved, because God saves us from this eternal damnation, this eternal separation, if you don't want me to use Christianese, eternal separation from God. Just mom and dad aren't going to be there to pat you on the back and say, tomorrow's going to be a better day. There's no comfy bed to lie in that you can have sweet dreams and good thoughts, and tomorrow you wake up and it's just going to be better than it was yesterday. This is a place that you have eternal separation from anything that's good, anything godly. And if God is good, and he is, there's no love, there's no joy, there's no peace, there's no kindness, there's no gentleness. None of that exists in eternal separation from God. And God wants us to be saved from that. So when somebody asks you, what does it mean to be saved? That's it. Saved from eternal separation from God, where there's no love, no joy, nobody saying it's going to be a better day, nobody give you a big hug. It's just eternal regret, anxiety, gnashing of teeth. What did I do? Oh, no, no, no. What did I do? There's no turning back. Oh, no. Jesus saves us from that, and he offers us salvation. He offers us an eternity with him where there's no more tears, no more pain. He offers us an eternity of joy. All right. Oof, that was a big one. We have a few minutes left. I'm going to try to hit these last couple of points. Well, if Jesus said we have to make a choice, there's something else Jesus said. Jesus says, I didn't come to bring peace. I came with a sword to divide. So the devil's trying to divide us from God. And Jesus said his offer of love and eternity with him is going to cause a divide. It's going to cause a division because people are going to take up sides. But we need to know that Jesus came to bring peace. Luke and Isaiah, Isaiah 9, for a child is born to us, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And I have peace, even though, okay, in the last few years, my wife is chronically ill with a neurological disease. My dad died in my arms. My house burned down in paradise, lost everything. Do I still have peace? Yeah. How? How can you still have peace after all that? Well, because I have a relationship with Christ, who gives me peace that passes any understanding. Sure, I could go, wow, if I just kind of like think about this loss and what this world is about, it'll give me turmoil. But Jesus offers me a peace. He offers me peace. Luke 2:14 says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. See, Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. Yet the kind of peace he brings is not necessarily what kind of most people might be thinking of. Like, the world should just be peace. Give peace a chance, as the song once said. Like, everybody on earth will have peace. Well, actually, there's a bumper sticker that explains this really well, what I'm trying to say. No Jesus, no peace. K-N-O-W. If you know Jesus, we will know peace. If there's no Jesus, N-O, if there's no Jesus, there's no peace. That's exactly what this is saying. Jesus offers peace for those that choose to serve God and not the things of this world. And to hearken back a bit to this speech this speech kind of nailed a lot of things, but it's not the speech I want to focus on. It's the biblical principles. It's the world event that shows, and obviously, that Jesus is right. The world has nothing over the Word of God. And no matter what the world does, the Word is always right anyway. See, we as believers, when we have that kind of peace that only God gives us, we should be able to have conversations like this. They shouldn't be harsh debates or arguments that the Word of God tells us to stay away from. Us believers should be more loving, more Christ-like people. We should be able to show the peace to other people, even in the midst of the turmoil and the persecution. We should have the capacity to forgive wrongs done to us. We should love God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and love others as well as we love ourselves. This isn't a time for debates and fighting and conflicts. If we're more concerned about proving that we're, and this is to the Christians now, if we're trying to prove a point rather than show the good news to others, we're messed up. But we must be able at the same time have this conversation and point to the world events that Jesus talked about, because people are asking those questions. Jesus warned persecution will come to his followers when they confront the world that rejects him. All right, last point. I got about 2 minutes. Remember, point number 6, really, we're to still do things in love. All right, so where does this peace come from? So I've talked a lot about, and it's a little stressful. I don't mean to stress anybody out, but it is. It's concerning is probably a better word. It's real. Jesus gives us these warnings, and we look at the world events, and we go, oh my goodness, things are crumbling. Things are falling apart, and Jesus talked about this. Remember I told you earlier, there's going to be a point to all this. There's going to be something. Here it is. All right, here it is. John 14:27. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Our Lord has also said, this is my command, love each other. If the world hates you, keep in mind it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. That's John 15:17-20. And I've told you things so that in me you will have peace. Now, in this world, you'll have trouble, but take heart. I've overcome the world. John 16:33. See, in this case, Jesus didn't come to bring peace to the unbelieving world, but he came to bring peace to those who trust him and believe in him. That's where the peace on earth comes from. And the only way there'll ever be international peace or peace among everybody only happens when Philippians 2:10 happens, when every knee bows and every tongue confesses that Jesus is Lord. Amen? Amen. Okay, well, I want to thank you all. This is Christ Today. I'm Pastor Alfredo Romero. I should probably point that out a few times because this is an hour show, and I should have pointed that out in case anybody that joined us in the middle. Remember, I'll leave you a couple of things. Pastor Alfredo, Rock of Life Fellowship here in Chico. You can find more information about us on our website, rockoflifechico.org, on our YouTube channel, Rock of Life Fellowship, or Facebook. Our services are 10 a.m. every Sunday, and we have Bible studies in between. Remember one thing, Jesus is real. He's always relevant, and he wants an eternal, lasting relationship with you. God bless you all. Bye-bye. Give me passion that pours out to every nation. Yeah. Shine your light, shine your light.